I would like to look at an Old Testament illustration of how sins may be forgiven. Leviticus, please, chapter 1, and we shall read from verse 1. Leviticus 1 and verse 1. The Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering, the word is actually an approach offering, unto the Lord, ye shall bring your approach offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering or approach offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a meal without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. He shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's son shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. I want you to notice particularly verse 4. He shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Now we need some New Testament light. Hebrews chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10. And reading from verse 11. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. God will bless his word. It's a strange picture. An altar, a man, and a bullock. But notice, please, there's action. There's a knife, and there's blood, and there's a flame. It's not a pretty picture. It's a gory scene. It was never meant to be pretty. But from that Old Testament picture tonight, I want to bring lessons that I'm going to call the ABC of the Gospel. You ask, who is this man who stands before the altar? He's a man desirous of approaching God. I want you to note that. He's not any man. That would be the A, the approach. A man who is desirous of drawing near to God. Now there's a way. I wonder tonight, would we have just in the gathering a soul? And into your consciousness has come the conviction that you know that you have got to meet God. and you would be desirous of drawing near to God. Now there is a way. But are you conscious, please, of the character of the one to whom you come? That is seen in this scene before us. Because the man who would approach God knows that God is holy. The flaming sword of Eden's garden was historical. The flaming mount, Sinai, was written into his people's history. The burning flame of the altar told him that the God that he approached was absolutely holy. This is no indulgent graybeard in the sky. This is no impersonal call. This is a God of absolute holiness. God who cannot look upon sin. The man would tremble. I've got to deal with that God. Do remember, please, that every one of us have got to do with this God. And it's still New Testament truth. Our God is a consuming fire. He never changes his character. And if tonight a little consciousness of the blaze of his holiness was to radiate into my heart, I would say like Isaiah of old, I am a man of unclean lips. Woe is me. I would say like Job, I am vile. That's the God each of us have got to do. Because the character of God throws into highlight my character, my condition. And oh, as I see what God is in his holiness, I see what I am in my sinfulness. And I take a look within, and the scriptures say, throat an open sepulchre, their mouth full of cursing and bitterness, poison of asps under their lips, feet swift to shed blood. And I recognize that in every part of me before God, I am absolutely filthy. And yet I presume to come to God. I ought to tremble. This God is holy. But this is the only God there is, a holy God, and I've got to deal with him. How am I going to approach a holy God? Oh, I hope tonight within the heart of souls in this meeting, there is that anxiety I want to know how to approach this God. Look again at that scene. And what do you see? You see a knife raised. And you see blood shed. And you ask that man who stands there, what does that tell you? And he'll be very clear, and he'll tell you that speaks of the sentence of sin. There's the bee, the blood. It speaks of the sentence that God executes against sin. He gazes upon the blood. I wonder, have I ever learnt that second lesson? That sin and its sentence go together. And that because I'm a sinner, I come under the sentence of death. Oh, we have reiterated it and re-emphasized it and re-echoed it in this hall night after night. But I wonder, have it really gripped my heart? Oh, you say, yes, I can see that physical death is the sentence of God upon sin. you're only seeing part of the truth. Now, physical death is an enemy. And if tonight, for just a moment, a little glimpse of that would touch my heart, it would sober me. It would solemnize my soul and bring into right perspective the values of eternity. Because when the soul comes to that moment of leaving earth's shore, and the lights begin to go out, and the shadows begin to gather, the important thing then will be, is my soul saved? Won't be how did the business do? It won't be the night of pleasure. All those things will take their proper place. And I'd be faced with death. But if that was the whole story, I could stop preaching. But my Bible speaks, my Lord speaks. He said, fear not them that kill the body, but fear him that's able to destroy both soul and body and head. And my Bible speaks of the second death. And I tremble as I speak to you, because that is the sentence of God upon sin. And it's unfolded in the closing book of our Bible as the play, where death and hell are cast, where the beast and the false prophet are, where Satan and his angels will be, and where souls who die out of Christ will be. If tonight the little glimpse of that were to dawn upon my soul, all the trivialities of life would fade, and I would be face to face with the sentence of God upon sin, death, the second death. That's a lesson, isn't it? The lesson of the sinner. The lesson of its sentence. Blood. But then, as you look at the scene, a question rises in your mind like this. But look, please, the man didn't die. It was a bullock died. You say, that's strange, isn't it? It's not the man in the picture who died, it's the bullock who died. What kind of bullock was that, you ask? That's a selected bullock. It's met certain specification. Wasn't any bullock. That bullock was brought to the altar. And the knife was raised, and that knife there plunged into the breast of that bullock, and it died. It's a picture. God's picture. Leaving the picture now, I turn to the reality. And I come to those words in Hebrews chapter 10. But this man, you say, who is he? That's the person set forth in the Hebrew epistle. That's the one greater than angelic being. He had a greater name. That's the one greater than the prophet. He was worthy of more glory than Moses. That's the one who takes precedence of every priest of the old. He had a more excellent ministry. That's the person. That's the Son of God. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, the selected one, the Son of God, that one who never sinned, Look, will you please? On Calvary's cross, he offers one sacrifice for sins forever. The knife fell, and it fell upon a substitute who took the place of the guilty. It fell upon that spotless, sinless, stainless Son of God in the depths of Calvary's darkness. There the blood was shed. There the victim died, fulfilling the Old Testament picture, bringing into reality all that God purposed of provision to be made. It was made by his Son in that sacrifice once for all. Do you think it needs any addition? Do you think that it needs some penance or prayers or pilgrimages added to it? Do you think if you had a few hours of weeping or working, it might help it? Listen, soul, what Christ did in Calvary's darkness was enough to meet the need of guilty man. One sacrifice for sins forever. Never needs amendment, alteration, or addition. It's that stands absolutely clear. Christ died. Ah, but wait now. That's the substitute. That's the sentence. That's the one that answered to the bullock of the old. There's the provision God made. What do you say to the man? Are you satisfied? The man would say no. Oh. Why? Because God tells me to put the hand on the head of the victim. This is the sea. The claim. What was the man doing? He was standing before a holy God. He was looking upon a sacrifice that was slain and its blood was shed. But he had to put his hand on the head and say, it's for me. It's in my place. It's in my stead. And God said, it shall be accepted for him. That's the claim. Soul tonight, you're a sinner. You're approached, you accept that. Look, the blood, there's the sacrifice. It never needs any alteration throughout all time, throughout the eternal ages. One sacrifice for sins forever. The Savior has done what no Hebrew priest could do. Sit down. He sat down on the right hand of the very throne of God. God satisfied. But now look. Can you not put in your claim? Figuratively, picturesquely, in the Old Testament was putting out the hand, saying it's for me. Now in this meeting you could do that. That's the moment of conversion. That's the moment of salvation. That's the moment of regeneration. Now I don't care what else you've got. If you haven't got that moment, let it go, because it'll doom your soul. Go back to it now, please. Look at it. The moment in life's history when you stood as a guilty sinner, accepted the sentence, I'm doomed to die. But Jesus died for me. He took my place. He died in my stead. My, the simplicity of it. All the sweetness of it. All the security of it. God said, it shall be accepted of him. Let's put it into New Testament language. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, could I pause here? Just a soul, a sinner, and the sacrifice sufficient. Salvation just awaits that acceptance of what Christ has done. Would you not like to be saved? Would you not like to be sure? You can be that tonight if you accept what God has said of His Son. On the ground of that, the Holy Spirit proclaims their sins and iniquities. God speaks through the Scripture and the Spirit, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. They're gone. Gone forever. And there's no more offering for sin. You needn't start weeping for it, or working for it, or trying for it, or seeking for it. It's all done. God has done it in Christ. And it's simple as ABC. The approach, the blood, the clay. But you meet a man going away from the altar. You say, there's a different quickness about your step. There's a different light in your eye. You're different. What makes you so different? Here's a D, if you like. He said, I've delight in my heart. I've been delivered. My sin's gone. But tell us, please, how are you sure? Well, he'd point you back to the work. And he'd say, look, one died in my stead. But my assurance is this. The Word said, it shall be accepted of him. And I'm absolutely sure. You ask any saved person, how are you sure that you're saved? They'll say, my safety, it goes back to the work of Christ. He died for me. But I'm sure, because the Word can never be broken. And God says, whosoever believeth on him. That answers the New Testament language, the putting out of the hand. Saying for me, whosoever believeth on him should not perish. And I believe what God says, and I'm absolutely sure. Would you not like to be saved tonight? You could tell us as you leave the building, you're saved and sure. Your sins are gone because of the sacrifice on Calvary's tree. Will you trust him tonight?